Okay, so for this deep dive, let's try like really rewinding the clock way, way back.
Back before Instagram.
Ha! Even further than that, I'm talking thousands of years before, anyone thought to write anything down in this part of Yorkshire.
Right.
So get ready for a kind of archaeological time travel adventure through, well, Farmdale.
Sounds fascinating. You know, it's always amazing to me what's hidden just beneath the surface, just waiting for us to uncover it.
I have to admit, when I first saw the research notes for this one, I thought, Yorkshire, ancient history, isn't that all like rolling hills and sheep and
Oh,
stuff?
there's definitely still plenty of those around.
Right. But turns out I was so wrong. Yorkshire has this whole other past, way more exotic than most people
You
realize.
ready for some surprises?
Hit me with your best shot. What's the most unexpected thing you found digging into Farndale's deep past?
Okay, so close your eyes for a second. Picture this, subtropical swamp. Yeah. But it's teeming with life, right? And we're not talking just any life. I mean, we're talking hippos and hyenas roaming around.
Wait, back up. Hippos in Yorkshire. I gotta call, like, fact check on that one.
The evidence, it's all there. We just got to know where to look. There's this place called Kirkdale Cave.
A cave. See, this is already more interesting than I thought.
So back in 1821, some workers, they stumble upon this cave, right? And what's inside? Well, it's full of these fossilized bones.
Okay, old bones. Got it. But what makes these bones so special? People have been finding old bones forever.
These weren't just any old bones, though. These belong to, get this, hippos, elephants, and yes, even hyenas. Creatures that, let's face it, couldn't last a week in Yorkshire's climate now.
So, like, how did these bones even get there? Was this some prehistoric zoo that went horribly wrong?
Well, a prominent geologist and paleontologist at the time, William Buckland, he took a real good look at these fossils, right? And he looked at the layers of sediment in the cave, too. And what he figured out, well, he reckoned that those hyenas, they were dragging their prey, into the cave to feast, and the types of animals they were eating, well, they indicated a much warmer, wetter climate.
So we're talking a total climate shift.
Exactly. This was the interglacial period, which kicked off about 130,000 years ago.
Wow. Okay, so no humans hanging out with the Yorkshire hippos then, I guess.
Not quite. But that doesn't mean our ancestors weren't already making their mark on Britain, way before Farndale was even on their radar.
This is where it gets even more interesting, right? I remember reading about some incredibly old footprints found somewhere in England.
You're thinking of Happisburg, over on the Norfolk coast. Those footprints, they date back almost a million years. 900,000, to be a bit more
You're
precise.
kidding.
Nope. So while those folks weren't chilling with the Kirkdale Cave hippos, they were definitely part of this bigger picture. Human migration, adaptation, the long game.
Almost a million years. It's mind-boggling. But what happened when the Ice Age hit? Did everyone just pack up and head south for the winter?
Pretty much. Well, maybe not south, but as the ice came, those subtropical creatures, they vanished. Landscape got totally reshaped.
Makes sense. So what happened once the ice retreated?
Life found a way, as they say. Around 10,000 years ago, give or take, the ice gives way, life returns, and humans, well, they followed. Tracking those animal herds across this brand new Yorkshire.
No more hippos, though, right?
Sadly, no. More of a woolly mammoth vibe by then.
Okay, so we've got these nomadic hunters making their way across a very different Yorkshire than we know today. What traces of these early Yorkshire folk did they leave behind, if any?
Well, imagine this. You're walking across the moors and you spot something glinting in the sunlight. You bend down and it's a piece of flint napped into a sharp edge. That, right there, that's the calling card of these early inhabitants.
So basically, a trail of tools just scattered across the landscape.
Pretty much. Arrowheads, scrapers, blades, each one telling a little story about their ingenuity and resilience.
Each one like a tiny window into the past. But how do we know what life was like specifically for the folks who ended up near Farndale? These tools are all over Britain, right?
Right, that's where a place called Starcar comes in.
Starcar.
It's not too far from Farndale, actually. Imagine a lakeside settlement, wooden platforms built right on the water, shelters made from hides, the smell of wood smoke in the air. That's Starcar.
Okay, I can picture it. Sounds cozy.
Excavations there have given us this incredible glimpse into how these early hunter-gatherers lived. And the tools they found, not just simple flint flakes, we're talking carefully crafted points, barbed spearheads, even tools made from bone and antler.
So they were adapting, innovating, becoming more sophisticated over time.
Exactly. They were figuring things out as they went, constantly learning and improving their techniques.
Which makes me wonder, How did they go from these scattered settlements and basic tools to the larger, more complex societies we see later on?
Ah, that's where the Neolithic Revolution comes in, a real turning point in human history. And a story for another time.
So last time we journeyed from a Yorkshire that was practically a tropical paradise, right, to this post-Ice Age world where our ancestors were navigating this new landscape.
Leaving behind those little clues, those flint tools scattered all over.
It's amazing to think about, isn't it? But then things start to change again, right? People start to settle down, farming starts to take hold, and we start to see these larger, more complex communities popping up.
That's right. We call this era the Neolithic Revolution, and it really was a turning point in human history.
What kind of time frame are we talking about here?
Now we're looking at around 4000 BCE, give or take a few centuries.
Yeah.
And it's a huge shift, right? Instead of constantly chasing after herds of animals, people are putting down roots, literally.
Yeah, farming villages, pottery, it all starts appearing around this time, right? Feels like a totally different world, a different pace of life.
It really was a game changer. And I think for these early farmers, it wasn't just about survival anymore. It was about establishing something that would last, building communities, creating a legacy, you know.
And speaking of legacies, this is when we start to see those impressive monuments appearing on the landscape, the long barrows.
Exactly. And these weren't just simple burial grounds. These were massive undertakings. We're talking serious planning, organization, manpower.
It really makes you think about the level of cooperation and shared belief that must have been developing at the time.
Oh, absolutely. These monuments are a powerful testament to that.
Like the one at Yearsley Moor.
Exactly. Yearsley Moor. It's a prime example of a Neolithic long barrow.
I mean, can you imagine the effort involved in constructing something like that using only, what, stone tools and sheer willpower?
It boggles the mind, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But they did it. And they did it all over. Which I think speaks volumes about this shift in human society.
Okay, so we've got long burrows, we've got farming, we've got these increasingly complex societies emerging. What happens next in our Yorkshire saga?
Well, fast forward a bit further and a new group enters the scene. The Beaker Folk.
The Beaker Folk, that's a new one. Okay, who were they and what makes them so important in the grand scheme of things?
Well, they get their name from these really distinctive pottery drinking vessels they left behind, the beakers, right? But they're much more than just pottery enthusiasts.
I'm sensing a plot twist here.
Think of the Beaker Folk as the international jet setters of their time.
Jet setters. Okay, now you've got my attention. We're talking about the Bronze Age here.
Right. But here's the thing. The Beaker Folk, they were plugged into this vast trading network. We're talking routes stretching all the way from Ireland to Scandinavia.
So international trade routes back in the Bronze Age. These guys were the real deal.
They were on the move. Bringing with them all sorts of new ideas, technologies, you name it. We're talking about the movement of copper and tin, the key ingredients for bronze, of course.
So the Beaker Folk, they weren't just bringing new stuff to Britain, they were bringing about a whole new era.
Precisely. And they brought with them a new burial custom, too.
Okay, I'm biting. Tell me more about these new burial customs.
Instead of long barrows, the Beaker Folk favored round barrows. And these round barrows often contained bronze objects, tools, weapons, ornaments.
Bronze Age bling, I love it.
And you find these round barrows popping up all over the place, even near Farndale, actually. Places like the Rydale Windy Pits and Gillimore, for example.
It's like each one of those bronze objects is a tiny time capsule, right? Offering us a glimpse into the lives and beliefs of people who lived thousands of years ago.
Exactly. And speaking of time capsules and the Rydale Windy Pits, guess who else was poking around those pits?
Our friend William Bucklin, the hippo bone enthusiast.
The one and only. It's amazing, isn't it, how much this one guy contributed to our understanding of Yorkshire's past.
From hippos to Bronze Age burial mounds, Bucklin was there.
A true pioneer.
So to recap, we've gone from long burrows to round burrows. We've got international trade routes crisscrossing the landscape. New technologies are emerging. The story of this region is already so much more dynamic than I ever imagined.
And buckle up, because it's about to get even more exciting as we enter the Iron Age. Think Celtic tribes, hill forts, and maybe even a battle or two.
Ooh, the Iron Age. Now we're talking. So from those hippos roaming around in a prehistoric Yorkshire to those impressive Iron Age hill forts, it's incredible to think about how much history we've already uncovered, right?
And you know what? We've only scratched the surface. There's always more to find. And it's easy to get caught up in those grand narratives like the climate-changing societies evolving. But for me, it's those little details that I just find fascinating. You know, those glimpses into the everyday lives of the people who were here before us.
Totally. It's one thing to talk about, like, tools and monuments and all that, but it's those everyday details that really make history come alive.
100%.
So give me an example. What are some of those details that you found that really bring this ancient Yorkshire to life?
All right, well, take the excavations at Costebeck, for instance.
Costebeck.
It's near Pickering. Now, I know it doesn't sound quite as exciting as a giant hill fort or anything, but what archaeologists found there, it tells us so much about daily life in the late Iron Age.
So what kind of things did they unearth at Costebeck?
You know, usual suspects.
Mm-hmm.
Fragments of pottery, animal bones, you know, leftovers from meals.
Yeah.
Even in a human skull, which is always a little sobering.
Right. A little reminder that we're all just passing through.
Exactly. But these aren't just objects, right? They're pieces of someone's story. Clues about how they lived, what they ate, what they believed in.
It's like trying to put together a giant puzzle. But instead of a picture, we end up with an entire world.
That's a great way to put it. And each little piece, no matter how small, brings us one step closer to understanding these past societies.
I can only imagine the kinds of stories those objects could tell if they could only talk.
Right. Imagine that. But, you know, speaking of stories, we haven't even touched on the tales of those who sailed to these shores from far off lands.
You're talking about Pythias, right?
The one and only.
The Greek explorer who gave us that first written account of Britain.
That's the one. Imagine, right? It's around 320 BCE, and this guy, Pythias of Massilia, he sets off on this incredible journey circumnavigating Britain.
That's a serious adventure. What a story that must have been.
Right. And he actually gave us the earliest name we have for Britain.
Which is?
He called it Britannicae, which, if you think about it, kind of echoes into our modern Britain.
Wow, I'd never made that connection before. That's fascinating.
It is, isn't it? But anyway, the point is, even back then, in the Iron Age, this region, it wasn't this isolated place. It was connected to this wider world through these trade routes, explorers, shared stories.
It makes you realize how interconnected everything is, even across thousands of years.
Right. And, you know, by the time Pythias arrived, that Vale of York, it was already well established.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It had all these farms, settlements, and these routes connecting everything.
I wonder if any of those routes evolved into the roads we use today.
It's entirely possible. We're always building on what came before us, even if we don't realize it.
That's a pretty amazing thought when you think about it. It's like right beneath those modern roads lie the ghosts of all those ancient pathways walked by, you know, countless generations.
It's humbling, isn't it? Reminds us that we're just a small part of a much bigger story.
So from those early footprints we talked about at Happisburg, all the way to these bustling Iron Age settlements, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. We've journeyed across millennia.
We've seen how these prehistoric communities adapted, innovated, and ultimately shaped the landscape.
And while the arrival of the Romans, you know, it marks a huge turning point in British history, it's so important to remember what came before, right?
Absolutely. Those prehistoric societies, those early inhabitants, they might not have left behind grand libraries or written records.
Their stories are still out there, though.
Exactly. Etched into the land, whispered by the wind across the moors. Just waiting for us to piece them back together.
So the next time you're walking through the Yorkshire countryside, remember, beneath your feet lies an entire world just waiting to be discovered.
You just got to know where to look and keep asking questions.
That's what we're all about. Thanks for coming along on this incredible journey through time. Until next time, keep exploring.